Good morning, Bethel. It feels like coming home, coming here. So Lee and I have realized we have a lot of connections to Pastor Danny and Heather. We have mutual friends that we didn't even realize were mutual friends. And Amy, who you heard last week, has actually been my prayer partner for 20 years. 20 years. I'm not that old. Just kidding. What a warm congregation you are. So thank you for having me. My name is Bridget. As Pastor Danny had mentioned, my husband Lee does not like attention, so you're getting more of it this morning, dear husband. We do have 4 kids. 2 are here this morning in kids ministry, and then 2 are back at our home church. And I am part of the Side by Side network that is based out of Riverside Community Church, but our role is to come alongside and support, and it is an immense pleasure and privilege to do that. So thank you for letting me be here this morning, and it is healthy to share the burden and share the responsibilities, and I can tell you're a church that does that. So thank you very much. I kept waiting for someone to say to me something about the boots that I'm wearing today, and I did have one person, so there you go. If I had a door prize, you would get it. But before we go into the word this morning, I want to talk to you about these boots. I don't preach in boots, but these boots represent something very specific for me. What they're not. They do not tell you that I like country music. They are not a sign of Western fashion, and they are not affiliated with the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, would never do that. Yes, all right, otherwise I'd be out the door. But I just want to tell you, any time that I've had the opportunity to preach, there's always been some kind of spiritual warfare going on. Sometimes it's behind the scenes, sometimes it's I don't want to go into that in detail, but there's just been a lot of things that have happened. This message in particular, all of that was internal anxiety. It was this vicious cycle of, you can't do that. You're not equipped to do that. You don't deserve that. You, like, all of the lies that we often get bombarded, I was entertaining those lies. I went to a women's conference, and I was wearing these boots because they're kind of my, like, happy boots, and this woman stopped and prayed over my feet. That is a very humbling experience. She touched both of these boots and prayed over me. And she not only prayed over me, she gave me truth. And here's what the truth was that she gave me. She gave me the scripture, and I have been holding on to this, and I think it might be meaningful to someone here this morning. It's from 1 Corinthians. It says, "As for me, brothers, when I arrived among you, it was not with surprising eloquence or wisdom that I came announcing to you the previously concealed truth about God. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus the Messiah, and even him only as someone who has been executed on a stake as a criminal. Also, I myself was with you as somebody weak, nervous, and shaking all over from fear, and neither the delivery nor the content of my message relied on compelling words of wisdom, but on a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, so that your trust might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." God speaks. God speaks truth to us, and it's not about us, it's about him. Our message this morning is going to be about listening to the voice of God. But before we dig in, I just have a question for you. What are you asking God to speak to you about? Maybe it's for the year 2025. Maybe it's for something specific for your family. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's anxiety. I want you to think about that. What are you asking God to speak to you about this morning? I want you to keep that topic in mind as we pursue the Lord this morning. So the initial spark for the sermon began with a scripture from 1 Kings, and likely you might be very familiar with this verse, but we'll read it again. It's about the gentle whisper that came to Elijah. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire the sound of a low whisper. The New King James Version calls that the still small voice of God. So our goal today is we're going to look at how God spoke to two people in the New Testament, and we're going to look at identify how God spoke and what he said and how we can better listen to his voice. If you'd like to dig into this a little deeper, there's a book that definitely influenced this message. It's by Mark Batterson, and it's called Whisper. So if you're a reader, I recommend that book. Now, perhaps you're here and you're still on a journey to figure out what in the world are these people talking about having a relationship with Jesus. I would ask you to keep listening and ask that if God were real, that he would speak to you this morning. Now, before we dig in, I do want to address something that perhaps you feel, at least sometimes I feel this. When I hear someone say, God told me something, sometimes I get a little prickly, like, are you sure? And it's going to involve me like bailing you out of jail or doing something like that. But I think we are okay in general with God speaks. You know, we're in a church. We know God speaks. Sometimes it's harder to say God speaks to me, but it's sometimes even harder to believe God spoke to the person sitting next to me. I'd like us to try to do some repair work to that statement this morning. And I get it, because people have co-opted and manipulated God's word. But when we receive it rightly, we are transformed and those around us are transformed as well. Let's pray. God, you are holy. You are mighty to save. And it is only by the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and you, Father, that we are here this morning. It is all about you. And so, Lord, we know that you are a God who is living and active, and you continue to speak. And we just ask that you would speak to us this morning, that you would be present here, that your Spirit would guide and direct what we do, and, Lord, that you would meet us right where we are. God, you came to dwell among us. You did not say, there you go, you're on your own. God, you are still present in our lives. And we pray that we would hear from you this morning. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be settling in Acts 9. So if you have a paper Bible, that's a great place to be. The scripture will also be on the screen, but we're really going to just focus in right there in Acts 9. And we are going to be comparing likely a story you are familiar with, the interactions that both Saul and Ananias had while God spoke to them. One of those interactions is more like a blaring alarm clock. The other is more like a little nudge, something that I might do to my husband during a message, a little nudge. Do I do that? I don't know, maybe. But anyways, two different ways that God spoke, and both very effective and powerful. So we'll start in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. I really appreciate this moment so much. Look at what Saul is doing when God makes contact with him. Saul is going on his way. He's in the middle of identifying those who belong to Jesus so that he can take them back to be arrested, men and women. He is in the middle of terrorizing people who belong to Jesus. This isn't bad. This is like really bad. This is not just calling someone a bad name on social media. It's using all of the power that he had, religious, political, social, so that he could take down Christians. And Luke tells us that Saul has gotten permission so that he can follow through with this plan. He is going in the absolute wrong direction. And this is the moment when Jesus speaks to him. This is the moment where God breaks through and speaks. He was most certainly sinning, and yet this is the moment God chose. If we hear nothing else this morning, let's hear this. God's voice is not limited to those who already know the sound of his voice. It is not limited to those who are already in a church or believing God. God's voice can cut through any disability, any sin, any life circumstance, any nationality, and speak. Our God is not limited, and he continues to speak. The most important thing that we can do and seek is him. And how God spoke to Saul is wild and powerful. Verse 3 again, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." God used a holy spectacle to stop Saul in his tracks. Think about it. Saul was a person with a lot of tenacity and passion. He's on a mission. He is headed straight in the direction and the goal where he is going. But God chose to use a means of communication that would both reach Saul and achieve his desired effect. God specifically chose this method. Jesus uniquely communicates to Saul. Saul is enveloped by this blinded light, and he falls to the ground. We can trust that God knows how to speak so that we can hear him. The beginning of us knowing what God's voice sounds like is to trust the one who is speaking. God doesn't need a manual or a language lesson or Google Translate to figure out what will get through to us. He made us. He knows what makes us tick because we are his design. We can trust his methods. Learning to listen begins with knowing we can trust the one who is speaking. But Saul did not trust Jesus yet. I appreciate the method that God uses with Saul, but I think there's something else we can notice as well. Saul certainly knew about Jesus. He knew all there was to know about Jesus' followers. He knew everything a book could teach him or information could teach him, but he did not know Jesus. When God speaks to us, he reveals more of himself to us. Every time we hear from God, it's meant to bring us closer to him. Our minds are more reshaped and our capacity and understanding grow because he interacts and draws us closer. God doesn't speak just so we can hear himself talk. He's drawing us into relationship with him. And that's exactly what he's doing with Saul. He's saying, "Saul, stop, come closer, re-examine what you think my identity is, and let me show you more of me." God speaks in order to be known. And because he knows us, he uses unique methods to reach us. In other words, he speaks uniquely so that we can hear and know him. That's because God's voice sounds like connection. When we hear God speaking to us, there's always a bigger understanding of who he is. God speaks to draw us closer, not to push us away. He came to save the world, not to condemn the world. So we find Saul blinded and prostrate. Everything besides Jesus is still quiet. No more racing thoughts, no more hot pursuit. This event has resulted in a hyper-awareness of a supernatural being that is speaking to Saul. My journey to being called into ministry has been anything but linear. You might have picked up that I kind of identify with Saul. I'm a type A, I'm a firstborn, I'm a former teacher, prepared is my middle name. Just kidding, you people who are literal, it's not really, but prepared is not my middle name, but I am super prepared all the time. You understand who I am. So my personality is more like, let's go get it done. But as I approached ministry this way, how do you think that turned out for me? Not so good. Not so good. I kept hitting these like roadblocks and obstacles and things that I was like, this is so annoying. This is what we're going to do. You told me this is what I was going to do. But God has me on a short leash. I kept getting these things that I viewed as obstacles, but in reality, they were ways that God was speaking to me. One of my pastors gave me a godly message during one of these particularly challenging seasons, and he said, you think you need to hurry up, but God says, slow down. Yeah. Yeah, do you want that message? That was about 2 years ago, and he was not the only person who was God's mouthpiece at that moment. I also had a friend who gave me a very specific thing. She's like, you know, I had this random thought that you should not be signing up for the classes you just signed up for. Well, at that point, I had already withdrew from the classes, and it was so strangely confirming, and it was what I needed to hear, although it wasn't what I wanted to hear. Anybody understand that? Yes. My message at that time was be still, and really still is, be still and wait a little longer. We are so much better listeners when things are still. And I don't mean circumstances we can't control. I mean self-inflicted busyness. We are so much better listeners when things are slower. Stillness is one of the methods Jesus used to give Saul the opportunity to hear him. The murderous threats, the marching quickly to Damascus, all the plans and all the purposes and all the passions have stilled because of this divine moment. It's like a train that stops on a dime. There's not much left in Saul's heart or mind. Everything that he was just pursuing has been demolished. What's left? Jesus. And you know what he says? Saul, Saul. Jesus knows your name. He knows what you need to hear. And that repetition tells Saul, this being knows me, and he knows you too. And what followed next was equally startling. Why are you persecuting me? In one sentence, Saul's entire existence has been seen, exposed, and laid to bear because it was spoken by the one who created and knew Saul and had the power to speak pure truth to him. In just one sentence, it's all on the table. Saul is fully exposed. And this brings us to another characteristic of God's voice. God's voice sounds like truth because God speaks truth. It's only God's voice that can speak truth to us and cut us to the bone without destroying us. His voice is exposing and healing all wrapped into one. And it's because it's spoken out of love and genuine goodwill for us. Living the lie is not his plan. When we hear the truth, not a truth or your truth, but the truth, we can know that it is God's voice who is speaking. Amazingly, Saul has enough presence of mind to respond, "Who are you, Lord?" Remember, our God speaks in order to be known. His next words are also very pointed. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." These light bulbs keep flashing for Saul. He was zealously going after Jesus' followers, and he thought it was the godly, holy, right thing to do. Jesus, in a short moment, turns him all the way around, and he gets Saul to see it differently. God speaks truth, and I don't think that Saul viewed this as the best day ever. Everything he knew was stamped down, burned up, ashes in the wind. His entire reason for being was upended. This could have felt like the worst day ever. But Jesus continues, "But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." This is a message most don't enjoy. Saul, get up, wait. It's like caging a wild animal. Wait, wait on my timing. There's more you don't understand. There's more you are going to get, but you can't get it yet. Your trust and faith need to grow, and that doesn't happen when you're going on your own way. This is a forced slowdown caused directly by God. It probably felt like rock bottom. Saul had no one, nothing, no capacity. He was silenced and stilled and fully dependent. It didn't feel good, but it ultimately was good. I'm certain that there are some of you in this room, or maybe those who are watching online, who are in a forced slowdown season. You might be in a hospital room or a nursing home. You might be between jobs or in a challenging relationship. Maybe you've been seeking God for years about something and you're still waiting. Please be encouraged this morning that God is still speaking. God has not forgotten about you. God still loves you. Pain does not mean he is absent. In fact, it's hard to ignore God when you can't move or speak or even see. God spoke with Saul for a moment, but sent him in blind dependence for 3 days. Verse 7 says, "The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." I think our day-to-day, moment-by-moment living are much more often marked by the 3 days of waiting than those huge mountaintop moments. And it's in the waiting, in the silence, in the complete and utter dependence on God where Saul finds himself. Saul had those 3 days of fasting and dependence. Do you think he was distracted from God then? I don't think so. Do you want God to speak to you? I'm convinced that he does, because he wants to be known. He wants to speak truth, and he wants to be close to us. But I think we could all use a little wait time without the noise to tune into his voice. So Saul's encounter with our Savior Jesus is followed by a dialogue between Jesus and one of his followers, one that reminds me of a chat with a parent or a close friend. I appreciate Luke so much for writing this in the book of Acts, that he follows up with this interaction with God that is totally different. We're going to pick up in verse 10. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" We see elsewhere in Scripture that Ananias is described as a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. God speaks to Ananias, but it's in a totally different way than he spoke to Saul. This is the more subtle little elbow method. But it's enough for Ananias to pay attention and listen, because he already knows what Jesus' voice sounds like. His response to Jesus is worth noting, and this is especially if this is new to you or something you really need to hear this morning. What he says is, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." It's one sentence. It's a mighty prayer, especially if you mean it. Here I am. I'm here. I'm listening. My ears are open. I'm ready to receive. Ananias didn't need to be blinded to hear Jesus. He was already looking and listening for him. And let's see what God tells him. Verse 11, "And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" God told Saul to wait, but he gives Ananias this clear directive. You're going to this address. You're going to this person. You're going to do this specific action, and you're going to lay hands on Saul. This is about the point in my studying where I thought, please, Lord, can you speak to me like this? If you give me a to-do list, I'm in. But this is not how God chooses to speak to me. It is how he spoke to Ananias, though. Regardless of the specifics of the message, we can be sure that God speaks purposefully to us. That's because God's voice sounds like purpose. Please also notice that God's speaking never just involves the person he's speaking to. There's always something bigger at play. In short, our connection with Jesus, I love how you said this morning, Pastor Danny, it is not just for ourselves. It's for the world around us as well. God didn't speak to Ananias simply so that Ananias could be like, oh, God chose to talk to me today. That's great. I must be really awesome and special. That is the opposite of the way our God works, right? That's the opposite. There's a cool factor for sure, but that directive that Ananias got was to go. Go and help. Go and heal. Go and pray. It was not for Ananias. It was for Saul. God was speaking to him so that he could get up and heal that guy. When we're seeking God's voice, our answers often involve helping someone else. Now, I'd like to say Ananias jumped up and ran to help Saul, but he didn't because Saul was a murderer at that point, right? The implications for Ananias would be pretty big. He could have been facing losing his own life. He has heard God, but he's questioning, and he's taking his doubts back to the Lord because it doesn't make sense. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So Ananias goes from, here I am, Lord, to, Saul, you sure about that, Lord? This guy's a menace to your people. Here's the thing. Even though Ananias is vacillating, he's still taking his doubts back to the Lord. He knows Jesus' voice. He already trusts him, and he has a relationship with him, and yet he still has questions, and he's willing to take those questions straight to the source. And the amazing thing is that we have a God who knows us. He knows Ananias intimately and knows exactly what he needed to hear, and this is what God tells him. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I'm going to pause there for a minute. God gave Ananias Saul's calling. Do you know how big that is? Without Ananias receiving that message, Saul would not have had his complete message from the Lord. And I really think this was just as much for Ananias as it was for Saul, for I will show you how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. It's a hard one. God responds to Ananias' confusion. We need to be reminded of that. God is not surprised or changed by my lack of faith or understanding. He is looking for responders to him, ones that engage even when they think, I'm not really sure about that. But he delights when we obey. Obedience is a necessary part of listening for God's voice. We're not just hearing it for ourselves. We're meant to act on that message when it's spoken. The Lord gives Ananias enough so that he can have the confidence to go and obey. He gives him Saul's calling, and he has a big job to do. Saul's also going to have it really rough. It's going to be painful and challenging, but he needs to push through that. And that was the tipping point for Ananias. Ananias heard God's voice, received the confirmation, and went out to do exactly what Jesus had asked him to do. And it says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Because Ananias received a nudge from God and because he obeyed God's distinct voice, the kingdom of God was furthered. God's voice of connection, of truth, and purpose served to build up this kingdom because these two men listened and obeyed him. He used unique methods for both. He used pain, promptings, and people to get his message through. Paul experienced extreme pain. It was emotional, draining, physically depleting, and probably embarrassing. Disillusioned, knocked down, blind. And in the middle of what many of us would describe as bad, God spoke the clearest. Friends, if you're going through something painful right now, please know that these are times to lean in, to get closer to his voice. pain doesn't drown out God's voice. It amplifies God's voice. And it reminds us that we are fully dependent on him for everything. Ananias experienced a prompting. God led him to leave his nice, comfortable house and go to the house of a murderer where he was staying and to minister to him. Who does that without a conviction from the Lord? Are you hearing any promptings this morning, especially ones to meet the needs of another? Will we obey when he prompts us? While Saul was in pain and Ananias had his prompting, God used both people to speak or interpret his message for them. Think about it. Saul's message from God was incomplete without Ananias' part. But Ananias got to see with his own eyes the transformation that Saul experienced by interacting with Jesus. Yes. God often uses other people to help discern his messages for us. Our connection to one another is deepened when we listen to God and then willingly serve him by serving others. God spoke through pain, promptings, and other people to accomplish his will. He is not a silent God. He is active, moving, and speaking. And when he does, it will be with a voice that sounds like connection, truth, and purpose. As we evaluate these things, these messages in our lives, there are important guardrails to put in place so that we can figure out, is this really God speaking to us? And is this really the voice of connection, truth, and purpose? The most important guardrail is Scripture. Scripture is true. God's messages will not contradict Scripture. If you're listening and you hear God say, steal that diamond necklace so that you can wear it to a fancy party, that is not God's voice. That's a silly example, but you know what I'm trying to say. We always must evaluate our messages through Scripture. It's the best and most important lens through which we can evaluate messages. I can't really overemphasize that point enough. Evaluate everything we hear through Scripture. The second guardrail is godly and objective counsel. If you think you're hearing something from God and you've evaluated it with Scripture, seek counsel from the Holy Spirit. He's the counselor. And in prayer, and possibly running it by an objective and wise Jesus follower. One pastor told the story of a woman who very excitedly came up after a service and said, I'm called to be a professional singer. Sadly, this woman had no musical talent. Yes. She wanted this message to be from God, but it wasn't. So seeking wisdom from wise counselors help us to rightly evaluate whether a message is a godly one or not. And the final guardrail, it's not one that's real popular, is obedience. When we're told to do something or learn something or lean in, we are expected to do that. With free will, we have the capacity, if I had both hands, I would cover both ears, but we can do this with our free will. We can block out God's words and dull our senses to what he's telling us. If we choose not to obey, why would he give us the next thing, right? Obedience is a necessary part in hearing God's voice. We serve a God who speaks. He's speaking all the time. We know that our God is faithful, loving, kind, holy, just, and relational. He breaks through the noise to make a connection with us. When Jesus speaks, we are meant to respond. Identifying his voice is not the end goal. It is the starting point. By his initiating, we have a responsibility to respond. I don't know what he's telling you this morning, but I'm confident that he does speak. And the thing is, the entire message has been about hearing the still small voice of God. There's one thing I can tell you. If you have not surrendered yourself to Jesus, that will continue to be the message you hear until you do. God's voice begins and ends with the voice of Jesus, the voice of the one who willingly left the comforts of heaven to come into our gritty, real reality for you and for me. He didn't do that just so he could say, okay, I did that one, moving on to the next step. He did that to enter into a relationship. Do we realize how absolutely preposterous that is? It doesn't make any sense. The God of the universe left the comforts of heaven to come to us. And he sacrificed himself on a cross. He bled and died for you and for me, not to just say, okay, fix that one, moving on, but to enter into a relationship. Our God is a relational God. He wants our surrender, but he doesn't want your surrender just so that you can grovel. He wants your surrender so that he can lift you up and pick you up and restore you into the person you are meant to be. So I encourage you today to surrender. Surrender to his will. Surrender to his purposes. Surrender to his love. And if you've already surrendered, but you're not sure what he's telling you, start by praying, "Here I am, Lord." Again, short sentence, but a huge prayer. And then wait on his timing for his response. If you've received a whisper from that still small voice, lean in, get closer, and respond in obedience and gratitude. We're going to have time to pray and respond at the altars. And during that time, these altars are available for you. And I want to circle back to that beginning question. What are you asking God to speak to you about? This sanctuary, this place, can be just like Elijah's mountain. From your seat or coming to the front, you can kneel before the Lord waiting for his whisper. And when he does speak to you, be it today, be it 3 years from now, be it tomorrow, please share it with Pastor Danny and Heather and other leaders at the church. Our relationship with Jesus is meant to be shared with others. Your message is not just for you. It's for others as well. Remember, he's alive, he's active, and he's speaking to you. I'm going to pray, and then I think worship team comes up, and then we can respond. We can respond in prayer during that time. Okay, so let me pray, and then we'll have the worship team come up as we respond in prayer at the altars. Lord, you are a good, holy, mighty God. You are a God who speaks. You are a limitless God. You are not limited by anything that we do because you are powerful and holy and completely other than. And yet you chose to restore us by dying for us and coming back to life so that we would have the promise of a life restored with you. You came so that we could have abundance with you, abundance of life, not abundance of things. And God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. For those who are needing, I know we've already had an opportunity during the service, but those who are needing to surrender, God, let this be the moment. Let this be the moment when they say, God, it's yours. It's yours. I don't want to carry this anymore, this burden of sin or this worry or this anxiety. God, it is all yours. Take it. I'm yours. And Lord, we just pray that your voice would be clear and specific. God, help us to continue to serve you with all that we have. We thank you and we love you and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now as we sing, please feel free to come up.
Just wanted to add, Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. That by the cleansing, the washing of the water with the word, he transforms the way we think. And he speaks also of the seared conscience that God speaks to us. And what a great analogy from doing those two sides, the loud and the quiet. You are in moments that you're wrestling with things. You're trying to make decisions. You're trying to figure things out. And it would be great for someone to come along to guide you. And the degree with which we step into that is the degree with which God begins to speak. He's always speaking, but we're not always listening. And so would you stand with me? And as the worship team leads us, you know who you are, that you're struggling and you're struggling to hear. And there's part of you that says, well, I could pray right where I'm seated. And that's true. God's present everywhere in this room. But there's something about doing something in response to him, to act out seeking him. And so as the worship team leads us, I invite you, you need some clarity in the way God's speaking to you, then come forward and spend some time with him and let him begin to penetrate that and speak to you this morning. Would you come? Lord, we thank you so much that even when we're broken and we're not listening and we're busy and we're not focused, you care enough about us to still keep stepping in, to speak, to nudge, to sound the alarm. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep doing that. We invite you to interrupt our lives. We invite you to interrupt our plans and our schedules, Lord. We invite you in to speak, and we ask that you would help soften our hearts and humble our spirits before you, that when that runs counter to us, our expectations and what we want, help us to be able to yield to you, Lord, to surrender to your plan for our lives. And we ask that you would just continue to make your voice loud in our lives so that not only that we can receive the good things that you have for us, but that we would be able to be made usable, Lord, in this life so that we can have an impact upon others. Because you are the light of the world, Lord, but you have called us to be the light of the world as well. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us by being able to hear and follow your voice to be a light to the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bridget, again, thank you so much.